glasses.
That's so dumb.
Felger.
Oh, you idiot.
Mass.
Holy crap.
Felger and Mass.
I hate that.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Tom. Hey, Tom.
Tom, if you...
I think I'll go for a walk outside, Tom. The summer sun's calling my name.
Hey, Paul.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out, get me some of those rays.
Polly.
Everybody's smiling.
Hi, Paul.
Sunshine day. Everybody's laughing. Sunshine day.
How are you, Paul?
Everybody seems so happy today.
Paul.
It's a sunshine day. Hey, Paul.
That was much better.
Thank you, Paul.
You stepped it up this week, Jim.
You know, before we get to this, I wanted to play this clip from yesterday from my exclusive interview that I do during Monday Night Football with Tom Brady.
Tom, have you been on the other end of what Adam Thielen got yesterday from Bill Belichick?
You know, I've been on the other end of a lot of his disciplining us as players types of moments from Coach Belichick.
So, Paul, let me phrase this to you. Have you ever been on the other end of what Adam Thielen got from Bill Belichick on Sunday, that kind of verbal discipline? Because, Paul, I know I have. It's a little game I like to call Master and Servant. Paul, if you'd like to play later.
All right, Jim Gray there with the Sunshine Day.
And the answer is yes.
Paul Brillo, Patriots Football Weekly, Patriots.com, Sunshine.com. Join us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. How do you feel about your football team right now, Paul?
Haven't been feeling this good about the football team all season. I think that was the most complete game they've played. Balance on both sides of the ball. I thought offensively they were pretty good. Defensively, by far and away, I thought their best effort.
Okay, do you think that's how they're going to have to win, with a more balanced effort?
I don't think they're going to be able to just run up and down the field and score 35, 40 points. So if, you know, 25, you know, 27, somewhere between 24 and 28, I think you can probably consistently expect that. The defense, yeah, is going to have to be more of a contributor.
So 24 to 28, that's, you have to win some games on defense.
Yeah, and I think that, I think they showed at least that they have the capability of doing that. Like I said, I thought that was the strongest defensive game that they've had all year. Now, I think some of that Minnesota helped them with. I think Cousins continued to get confused throughout the game, checking down when, 4-11, you're throwing a short little slant.
He's a wuss bag. You didn't like that?
But I really liked all the different things. And I thought Cousins talking about it after the game, you know, how they disguised coverages, and a lot of times they thought it was going to be zero coverage, and you know, instead of cover zero, you know, they're dropping out at the snap and taking away the downfield stuff. I thought J.C. Jackson, you know, inserting him into the lineup, I thought he played well. And I thought kind of a subtle thing, they treated Dalvin Cook like a receiver and had a lot of defensive backs. Rather than put those linebackers out in space on a very dynamic running back, you know, it was J.C. Jackson, it was Daron Harmon, it was Patrick Chung, it was – you know, Jason McCourty, you know, tackling him in space, and 8 catches for 22 yards is an absurdly low number for a running back of that caliber. That's been a problem for the Patriots for the better part of, you know, it's a problem for everybody in the league, you know, tackling those running backs out in space. You've seen teams do that to James White recently, right? We saw Tennessee do it with some of their safeties. Now you're seeing the Patriots do it too. I thought at all levels, pass rush, the coverage, the scheme, everything was great on Sunday.
Okay, so you think they're a mid-20s offense as well.
Yeah,
so we've sort of seen their ceiling, and you think that's it?
I do.
And because of why? Like, why is that their ceiling now?
I think that you haven't seen as much of the explosiveness from all the different weapons. Gronk, Edelman, Gordon. I think those guys have been good at times, but I don't think that the days of Gronk, 7-8 catches, 120 yards... Wouldn't you be surprised if you saw one of those games now down the stretch?
Well, I feel like, yeah, I mean, it would be an outlier, that's for sure.
So I think they sort of are what they are. And I think that, you know, in any given game, they're probably capable of having one big game. But I think over the course of, you know, whatever, we have 4 games left, the playoffs and all that, this is what they are. They're finding different ways to scheme around it.
How about the quarterback?
The quarterback, I think, has been average. I don't think he's been throwing the ball as well. I mentioned something to you guys last week about the throws to the left, and then there was one that I really thought of, and I actually was going to text you, the pass to Patterson on the left sideline. It was complete, but it was a horrific throw, right? I mean, I think that had a chance to be a big play, And Cordarrelle Patterson, to his credit, went down and made a really, really tough catch. But that was what I was talking about. I just don't think he's been as consistently. Now, I was told when I got back to the office that the numbers are actually better when he throws to the left. Mm. So what do I know? But that's the kind of throw that my mind remembers is, yeah, it was complete for a good gain, but it was not a good throw.
So along these lines, Maz, what to you is the biggest question mark this week in Miami?
Brady.
And what do you base that on?
Brady. And again, look at the home road numbers that we were talking about yesterday. Like, Brady made a comment this week in his weekly radio interview that, you know, I don't think anyone's going to come in here and win with the way our defense is playing at home, which I sort of read as, oh, they don't play as well on the road. So I looked at the numbers. The offense has been worse on the road than the defense has. The offense is averaging, if you take away the special team scores in Chicago and McCourty's interception return in Buffalo, the offense is averaging 18 points a game on the road. 18. And Brady has not played well in Miami for a long time.
How's he played in Miami, Mass?
So in his last five games, he's 1-4.
Why don't you give us the numbers?
Now, look, a couple of years ago, he had a good game down there. They won big.
I'm sorry, so say that again. He's 1-4 in his last five down there?
Yeah.
Correct.
He had a good game there in 2016. His rating was like 130. But in the other four games, his ratings were 59.5, 76.3. That was a Steven Jackson game. 69.7 and 85.7. Okay, overall, his rating down there is in the low 80s. His completion percentage is under 60. He has more sacks than touchdown passes. Okay, so I look at it and say, whatever it is, and we all know Brady's, you know, career in Miami has never been good. 7-9 down there. I'm talking about just the last 5 years.
So to me, and let me just jump in, the last 5 years is what puzzles me. When they had trouble down there early in the run, Madison, Sertan, Zach Taylor, Jason Taylor, Zach Thomas, right? That was a tough-ass defense, okay? And added on top of the heat and the humidity and blah, blah, blah. So, like, a lot of people struggled in Miami. The last 5 years, they still play like ass against a nothing defense.
Yeah, yep. And mediocre teams, too. You know, I think the irony is the one good game, the one outlier game there, was the 1 year that the Dolphins were actually pretty good. They won 10 games that year. And they went down there and played really well. I think Bill's 8-10 in Miami. It's just one of those things. And you look at Tom's numbers, and they're outstanding. You know, indoors, outdoors, bad weather, good weather, whatever.
Not there.
Whatever the situation is, heat. Extreme heat is the one condition that seems to bug him.
Huh.
And it's Miami. Earlier in the year in Jacksonville,
right, it was 100 degrees, right?
It was a lot made of that. He did not play well that day either. And there's not a lot. It's a smaller sample size. I think it's fewer than 10 games that I think the temperature's been 85 or 88 or above or something like that.
Supposed to be close to 80 on Sunday.
Yeah, it'll be in the 80s, I mean, I'm sure. And I think there's actually a chance of thunderstorms, too. But that's the one condition that seems to have bothered Tom, consistently.
And you know,
they just
odd,
don't play a lot of games in that weather.
I can see other positional groups suffering in that kind of condition. Defensive linemen get gassed, whatever. Receivers get gassed. Like, I get all that. Shouldn't the quarterback be immune to that sort of?
Yeah, and I don't know if it has anything to do necessarily with getting gassed as much as it is that he doesn't play. I don't know why that is, but you're right. I mean, listening to some of the former players talk about it, they'd always sort of discuss, like, we always felt like we were prepared. We would go down there, and then you get out there for pregame warmups, and you're like, you start panicking. Yeah, did I hydrate enough? Or, I'm already hot. I'm already tired. And you go in the locker room. Mike, you've heard a million of these stories where they jack the AC up in the locker room, and you know, you feel like, oh, I don't want to go back out there. It's so hot, you know. But I mean, I would think that's probably more of a problem in September.
I just don't think it's a problem for the quarterback.
But the numbers in December are really bad. In Miami in December, they have not played well. And again, not against good Miami teams. Last year, I think they were 5-10 or something like that, or 4-10. I think that was their fifth win, right?
I mean, in the four losses down there over the last 5 years, they've scored 70 points.
Which is just so out of character for the
17.5 a game. And these have been during Brady's quote-unquote renaissance years.
Do you guys feel like it's going to be different? You feel like that they've sort of gotten something fixed?
Nope.
Last
week? I hope so, because that Dolphins team is terrible.
Well,
they tried to give it away to Buffalo last week.
But wait a minute, Jim. Tony needed some time to think about it.
Oh, no, I know. I was going to say, Maz, if you could sum up Brady and how he plays in Miami in two words, what would those words be?
Sucks, blows.
Thank you.
Daily double.
Yeah.
So, well, how do you feel about that?
Because I cautiously optimistic. I think they found something last week. I think there was a there's a confidence on defense that I haven't really seen. I don't know. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think they're going to play better than they have on the in Miami for sure. But even on the road this year, I think it's going to be more like one of those games that might not look like dominance on the scoreboard, but I think they're going to be in control of it.
Okay, football thoughts on top of everything else. I promise. Right to you with Paul Perillo. Right after these words, and Gia is going to abuse me in the back here with a moist sausage because I forgot to give away my giveaway. So I'm going to go back and take my beating, and then I'm going to give you something for free, a nice prize right after this.
Duggar Naz, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, you guys have a big game coming up. They all are now. Football begins in December, as you've reminded us so often after Thanksgiving. Yeah. And you go down to Miami, a place where they have given you trouble year after year. The records never seem to indicate it, but why is that so difficult for the Patriots to play in Miami?
I know. It's been a challenging environment. Early on in my career, I think it's the climate obviously plays some role, and they always seem to play well when they play us down there. It's we're not going to get beat by the weather. We're going to get beat by the Dolphins. That's what we realize. We're going up against a good opponent that plays us very well at home, and we play them very well at home. It's just one of those series where it's kind of like that, and we got to get our mind right. We got to have a great week of preparation and go down there and try to play a great game against a team that's really hung in there, 6-6. They battled. They've had some injuries. We're 9-3, but if we win, it's a lot of upside for us.
All right. I wonder if Brady's ever going to say, I suck down there. Because you look at the team's problems down there, he might have been the biggest one.
Yep.
Honestly, there's no other place or in any other setting you could say that.
They're quarterback related.
But their Miami games have been quarterback problems.
Or passing problems. Like, again, the four losses in the last 5 years, they've lost four times. They've averaged 17.5 points a game. Who's going to win doing that?
And against a defense that's not even that good.
Right.
So Brady, bear some responsibility there. To your phones, as promised, with Paul Plow here in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Tommy's in Connecticut. Go ahead, Tommy. And I do have a giveaway. I'm giving something away here in a few minutes, so don't go anywhere on that. Go ahead, Tommy.
You know, guys, for the Patriots to get back to the Super Bowl this year, let alone win it, they're going to have to buck a serious historical trend.
Yes, they are.
Teams that lose the Super Bowl, they don't get back the next year, let alone win it. I looked this up. I mean, it's pretty crazy.
Buffalo,
I
think.
The last team to get back to the Super Bowl after losing was the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
The last team to win the Super Bowl after losing the previous year. This is insane.
Dallas?
The undefeated Dolphins.
Dolphins, yeah. So all the way back in the early 70s.
And then even the Patriots, you look at them, the last two times they lost, it took them years to get back.
So in some respects, and given, especially because I don't think they have a great team by their standards, and there is all those sort of issues percolating around still underneath the surface there, and all that historical data, you could make the case they've done well just to do what they've done. I mean, that's sort of bucking a trend.
Yeah, and I think some of those things I think are over. What does that really have to do with this particular team? You know what I'm saying? Like in 2011, they didn't win the Super Bowl. They lost to the Giants. In 2012, they went to the AFC Championship game. Right? In 2007, they lost the Super Bowl, and Brady tore his ACL the next year. So they didn't make the playoffs. Does anybody think that they wouldn't have made the playoffs or had a strong run to the Super Bowl if Brady didn't get hurt?
No, they wouldn't.
So like those numbers are great. They're accurate. That's absolutely true. But I don't really think it's all that much different. I don't think it's all that relevant to this team.
Well, let me tell you, in 2005, when they were in the same spot, three Super Bowls in 4 years, they looked and felt different than this team. I mean, this team feels like it has a chance to go on a run in 2005. And again, that's when Bruschi had his stroke. Ted Johnson retired.
They were tired.
They were tired.
They looked tired.
And you could tell they just, that team did not really have it. This team still might.
Yeah, I don't think they probably have as much talent as those teams did. Well, I don't think. They don't. They don't have as much talent as those teams. But what they do still have is the same thing that 2005 team had, Mike. And remember when we went out to Denver, did we all feel like they were going to lose that game?
Yeah.
I think we felt like we felt like they could win it.
You're right. You're right. It was right? Jake Plummer and the Broncos, right?
Yeah. And they still had that sort of champion kind of pedigree. And, I mean, let's face it. There was an incredible play by Champ Bailey that turned that whole game around. Who knows what would have happened?
Okay, Mike in Salisbury on Evaldi. Go ahead, Mike.
How you doing, gentlemen? Thank you for taking my call. Love the show. I completely agree with you, Maz, as far as Evaldi goes. Say they do turn him into a closer, if that's really what they're trying to do. The March after we won the 08 World Series, we signed Papelbon for a year for $775,000. The year after that was 1 year, $6.25 million. I don't have the numbers for the 2 years after that, but...
Okay, but so, Mike, they're not signing him as a closer. He's a fallback closer option.
Those don't apply. Those numbers don't apply. To me, look, if you're telling me he's going to pitch like Papelbon pitches, or pitched, I'll give him $15 million a year, no problem. Fine. Like, the market for relievers now is higher than that. Craig Kimbrel wants $18 million a year, for crying out loud. I'm just telling you that the guy is who he is at this stage of his career, and I understand you're trying to project. So I think he could be a good get. You have to draw a line somewhere. To me, I'm not giving him more than 3 years.
Paul, how far do you extend yourself if you're the Sox on him?
Yeah, I mean, I heard Tony talking about this on the way in, and I have a hard time really disagreeing with it. I like Evaldi, and I'd love to have him back. And I understand, I think, is the crazy guy that yells at you guys all the time.
Alan.
And I heard him, And part of me looks at it that way. Like, there's no salary cap, and you can spend all the money you want. It's not really – when you're a team like the Red Sox, it's not going to really affect what you do, even if you miss. But everybody has a budget, right? Even the teams that seemingly have the endless streams of revenue like the Red Sox. I would like to have them back, but you do have to draw a line, and it does sound like Dombrowski has done that. I don't know what it is, but if the $15 million a year is too much – then you got to be disciplined.
Rick in Rhode Island on the shifts. Quickly, Rick.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I think that the shift is a bad idea, and it's going to have a terrible unintended consequence. It's going to slow the game down because you get used to seeing managers stick four fingers out the dugout constantly to pitch around it and with the intentional walks. So I don't see the point.
That takes a second.
It.
Oh, my God.
How does that slow the game down?
Rick, an intentional walk is so much quicker than a guy trying to hit a home run. Guy trying to hit a home run swings and misses. The count goes deep. The pitcher holds the ball an extra second to get more velocity. You're so wrong about that. How do you feel about an illegal defense in baseball, Paul?
I don't love it, and I understand. And there was a lot of different things in that story. That the one that really stuck out to me was just how much it has changed the mentality of the hitter.
Bingo.
And I didn't really. I have to be honest. I never really looked at it in that perspective. But you look at a guy like Ortiz. I was talking to Jimmy about this before I came on. This is a guy who hit the ball the other way with authority and very effectively throughout his career. And all of a sudden, they started putting shifts on, and it seemed like he never wanted to go the other way anymore. Hmm. Like, he insisted on hitting it over the shift. You know, part of that is, you should adjust as a hitter, too. And I think there's more things that I think hitters can do to beat the shift than they do, rather than simply be all consumed with launch angle.
Because Paul, I'm with you. I used to say, he'll tell you. Mike will tell you. I used to say, you know what, bunt.
Well, I don't necessarily want to tease bunting, but hit the ball off the wall.
Sure.
JD Martinez,
hit the ball the other way.
You know, you can't do that to him.
Right. So, but the problem is, what they do is that they pitch you down and in. And you say, well, as a hitter, you say, well, what am I going to do? I'm either going to pull the ball or they're going to pitch you in, period. So I'm either going to pull the ball or I'm not going to swing at it.
I
felt like you felt, hit the ball the other way, do something else. The problem is that's not what they did. They reacted differently.
It was like I think it was Kevin Seitzer had the quote about, why are we going to change the rules that have been around forever? And Mike, you took offense to that. But at the same time, there's always change, right? You're saying that's a problem with baseball. I would wholeheartedly agree with you. One of the main problems with baseball is that we can't change anything about it because that's the way we've always done it. And I, as much of a baseball guy as I am, I agree with that. But they're also, it doesn't have to be adjustment with the rule. Like, you can adjust as a hitter too, and I think that might be a way to do it. Now, Tony makes a good point about the way you get pitched, but I mean, I think you're always trying to pitch guys a certain way. If you execute your game plan pitching against a guy and you always execute, then the hitter would almost never win that battle, right? But
so you want to see
you know, hitters hit mistakes.
You want to see the hitters make an adjustment, not a rule change. I got it. Bob in Easton, yeah. Quickly, only got a minute, Bobby.
See, Felgi, you can't do this to me because this is going to be...
Yes, I can. We give callers a minute, Bob. You're no different. Okay? Sir Bob in Easton, I love you, but I can't give you extra time. A minute. Go.
Will you listen?
Go.
So, stop accepting the notion that Kraft will not let Bill Belichick leave to coach another NFL team. If we've already seen this, Kraft has already undermined Bill Belichick with the Jimmy Garoppolo trade and everything else that's been documented. Here's the thing. Josh McDaniels will be the coach of the Patriots in February of 2019. Here's one thing that you guys don't know, and this is what you're not talking about, and this is what I have learned. When Jimmy Garoppolo was traded, Kraft did push Belichick to trade him, okay? He also told him, you don't trade him to the Browns. You know why? Because when all this stuff started happening in 2017, then the ESPN story, that's when Belichick and Kraft started talking about the exit plan. And guess what? He brought up Cleveland, going to Cleveland. Well, if Garoppolo was traded to Cleveland, guess what happens? The Patriots get all of their number one picks and all their assets. So now if Belichick goes to Cleveland, Patriots get nothing. So that's one thing. Secondly, McDaniels isn't going anywhere, and the reason why his name's out there, because it makes Kraft and the Patriots look that much better with him being so touted. What is a better situation for Josh McDaniels?
Okay.
Stay here. Guys, come on, Felga, and Perillo can agree to this. Kraft did not jump in to keep McDaniels here to be a buffer for one season, okay? He's here because what better situation for him to stay here?
Hey, Bob.
Do what he's going to do. Yes.
I love your conspiracy theory. I do. I love it. I love it. And I just, you're almost at 2 minutes and we just have time limits on this stuff. But his whole conspiracy, I'm not telling you he's right. I'm just telling you it fits and I like it. It's fun that the whole reason Josh is putting his name out there, it's to force Kraft's hand on Belichick. If you don't make me the coach now, Bob, says Josh, I'm gone. And the Garoppolo thing, that's a whole new one. It wasn't Bill keeping him away from Cleveland because he wanted to do the kid a solid. It was Kraft telling him, you don't send him to Cleveland because I know you want to go there too. And maybe even if I'm getting their compensatory picks, I don't want to be picking at the bottom of the round. I want to be, et cetera, et cetera. So it all fits.
So we've gone from...
Bill was a good little theory.
But wait a minute. We've gone from Bill wouldn't trade Garoppolo to Cleveland. And I know the whole thing, he wanted to set the kid up, which is, yeah. I think, complete fantasy land. But anyway.
I don't.
Because
I don't.
He wouldn't send him to Cleveland, partly because he would never do anything to help Cleveland because of the visceral hatred that he has for the Browns.
That's what you think?
Right? Well, that's certainly a common thought.
I don't think he
hates Cleveland.
Oh, well, he's done tons of deals with Cleveland.
I understand that. But he hasn't done anything to help them. Going back to coach Cleveland. I just don't think that that would be the case. Number one, in my mind, I love, you know that, I love conspiracy theories. In my mind, McDaniels came back because I think Robert Kraft was a little concerned with the relationship with Bill and Tom. And I think he won.
Processor.
It's a Felger Mass take processor. Okay. I didn't even need it. Bob and Easton already did the job for me.
Oh, yeah.
Quickly, Paul.
No, that's it. I think he wanted a buffer. I think he wanted to make sure that he had someone to help Tom. I think they're okay right now, Brady and Belichick. But I think if you go back to the spring or right after the season, I don't think it was okay.
Okay, is Josh here or is he somewhere else next year?
I think he's going to be somewhere else next year. But if you asked me that last year at this time, I would have said the same thing.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts on this.
Just quickly,
I don't know. All
I know is Bill in Cleveland would be awesome.
That'd be tremendous.
I don't think there's any chance he would.
It would be awesome. What a story.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brady throwing, and that's incomplete, and Gronkowski gets hot. Well, he took a shot.
A couple weeks in a row now, we're not seeing 87 run away from people or run people over.
Throw down the middle for Clark, makes the catch and absorbs the hit. Undercut by Smith.
He's getting up slow, too. They chopped him down right at mid-thigh.
You're not concerned about Rob Gronkowski's health at all. Are you f***ing okay?
Gronk is dead.
The injuries are starting to take their toll.
Gronk is dead.
Gronk is done.
Gronk is dead.
Paul, your thoughts on this? Is Gronk dead?
It pains me.
Oh, God, another one.
It pains me.
It's over.
I think the days of him being Gronk are over. I do. That doesn't mean he can't still help. And it doesn't mean, I heard, you know, listening to Josh McDaniels yesterday. He talked about some of the things that he opens up on the field. Having him out there is certainly better. But I don't think you're going to see, you know, 7 for 122 and 2 touchdowns on a regular basis anytime soon. He just looks like he lacks explosiveness. And the power that he once had. And I just go back, look at all of the big plays that he's made this year. Think about the best plays that Gronk has made this year. And tell me which one of those looked like a regular play. Like it's
Well, I mean, tell me which one he was open.
That's what I'm saying. It's a bobbled pass that he just makes an incredible, just because of his sheer greatness on the sideline, bobbling the ball, getting his feet in bounds against Buffalo. Even the first touchdown of the year against Houston was no small feat. As recently as the Jets game, guy comes over and hits him right as the ball arrives, but he's so good and so strong, he was able to catch it anyway. Nothing has come easy for Gronk this year. He hasn't had any of those plays where he's gotten behind you down the seam and, you know, it's off to the races. I do. I think he's lost some of that speed.
Could it be purely because of a strained Achilles or some injury here?
I do think it's part, you know, of the wear and tear. And I also wonder, and this is total speculation because I have no idea what his workout, but I wonder how much the whole TB12 thing has played into it, because we've all said, and a lot of other people have said, that might work great for a quarterback, but you can't train the same way as a tight end, and you need the power and that comes with lifting. And I wonder if it's all band work, if it's all diet. I don't know. I don't know how much he's embraced the TB12 method and if that is a big part of it. But I do think, again, it doesn't make me happy to say it because I just don't think that he's that guy anymore.
Okay. Do you think this is it for him this year? Because that's what everyone says.
Yeah, I do.
You do too.
I think he'll be somewhere else next year or retired. I don't think he'll be back.
Somewhere else?
Yeah, I don't think he'll be back with the Patriots next year because I think if...
But you're not ruling out that he's still playing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't rule anything out like that because you just never know if he maybe doesn't want to go out the way he's gone out this year, you know? Maybe he wants to, you know, have a good offseason and maybe go back to training the way he has trained and say, you know, I can still do this and, you know, try to show somebody. Who knows?
Okay. Yeah, your thoughts on this and everything else? We've been talking baseball and the shifts, banning the shifts. Ron in Tewksbury on that. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, I really absolutely agree with Paul on this. In any other sport, in football, you take away the biggest threat. You adjust your defense to do that. In basketball, if a guy is normally scoring 45 points, you know what? Let him score his points and take everybody else away. In baseball, if you believe you're a great hitter and the shift is killing you, well, you're not a great hitter because you can't hit to the opposite field.
Well, that's no one in baseball then, Ron. So no one has – there's no more good hitters. I mean, they instituted for Teams because he only pulled the ball. Was he a bad hitter?
There was no shift back then.
No. He was the first.
Lou Boudreau.
He was the forebearer of it. That was back in the day when they shifted for no one except Ted because he pulled the ball. Does that make him a bad hitter? Look, I just think the game's in trouble. I don't like the direction of the game, and I think the shift play right into it. Walk, strikeout, home run. and it adds to the pace of the game. It adds to everything. So if the hitters can't do it themselves, I don't mind baseball doing it for them.
Yeah, and that's the part that I do agree with you and Tony on. I think that the sport needs some new life, new innovation. And if that's what it takes,
it's a small tweak. More balls in play, less guys trying to hit home runs, the shorter counts, the whole thing. I think it's a small adjustment that would help but steer it back in the right direction.
And his basketball analogy doesn't work because there's illegal defenses in basketball for the same kinds of reasons.
Thank you.
Yeah, look, if this were a few guys in the league that were being shifted on, nobody'd be bitching.
Right, it's everybody.
It's over 30,000 shifts a year now. It's insane. It's an epidemic. They shift on Brock Holt for crying out loud.
And you never used to see it on righties. Now most righties get a shift. Most hitters get something.
I put this under the category of you have to, you have to protect them against themselves because they'll screw it up.
Quickly, Steve in the Jeep on Rob Gronkowski. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I just was listening. And I disagree. I think the only thing missing in Gronk's game is he just has to play the Steelers defense again. He'll poke them for $175 or $200. That's all he needs, and I think he'll be okay for the rest of the year, but I do agree that he's probably done after this season.
Okay.
Good night, guys.
Sure. I mean, he's always succeeded against Pittsburgh, but he's just not moving the same.
He's always succeeded in Buffalo, too.
And he didn't this
year? And he didn't this year. I mean, he had that great play on the sideline, but that was about it.
If I were him, I'd start pushing off. That's what I would do. Seriously. I mean, they started calling him for that, and he got agitated, so now he doesn't extend his arms anymore. But you know what? Screw it. Do it anyway. See if you get away with it.
Long commercial-free segment is next, and we say goodbye to Paul Perillo with your calls.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Billy, talk about how much the Dolphins have changed since the last time you saw them. When you look at the Miami film from earlier in the year, how much do you balance trying to look at that game and look for tendencies versus trying to figure out what Miami did in that game and try to counteract that? Trying to change things up from what they did last time.
Yeah, well, we'll see how much they do from that game. I think it would be a different game. It certainly was when we played down there last year. They had a totally different game plan. So we'll see. Adam does a really good job. He's an excellent game plan coach, as is their entire staff. So whatever we get, we get. I think it'll be hard to sit here today and say this is what it's going to be because there's too many variables. I don't know what they're going to do.
All right, it's Belichick today on heading down to Miami. One for their last five. That's crazy. 1-4 in their last five games down there. When you look at it, the biggest problem has been the quarterback play. So a lot on Brady this week. We'll see what he's got down there in Miami. Meanwhile, the injury report was back out today, and Brady's back on it, okay, after being off it last week. Now he's back on it with the knee.
Yep.
And we've also had the back and forth with Gronkowski, where last week Rob was taken off of it for a day and put right back on it the next day with both back and ankle, which to me, again, is just, that's weird. Did someone hit him in the ankle and roll up on his back, like, at the same time? How did he go in on with both after one day of practice?
I thought it was strange, too.
Right? So, like, there's I don't know. I mean, who the hell knows what's going on, but the back and forth of it. And then there was an exchange today with Belichick and Gronkowski on the tight ends in the injury report, right?
Yeah, and this struck me because Bedard said here on the program yesterday, Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com, that he thinks they need to go out and get somebody. They have no depth on the tight end depth chart. So when I saw this in the transcript, I thought Bedard asked it. It wasn't Bedard, but here's the exchange.
How would you characterize your depth of tight end?
Same as it's been all year. No changes. Then I'm aware of what happened.
Can you count on Gronkowski?
I don't think there's anyone on the injury report last week.
So first of all, again, it's just...
Yeah. Can you slur the last line anymore? I mean, either you deliberately slurred it because you didn't want to talk about it, or you were drinking before you went out there. So it's one or the other.
I hear the first thing.
Okay, so listen to this. Again, listen to that answer. Yeah, Jimmy, can we play? Listen to the whole thing.
Paul's not responsible.
It's like
6 minutes. You can't just wait 6 minutes. It's like
Paul's not responsible for this.
Paulie, don't say a thing. Just don't say a thing. Okay, seriously, I don't want to get you in trouble.
Well, I can give you my thoughts on the situation.
Hey, but hold on. Play it again. Play Mumbles.
Make fun of the head coach. I can't just...
Mumbles.
I think he sneaked a couple of those little vodka bottles into his jacket.
Would you stop with that?
And popped them right before he went up.
Stop with that.
Listen, go ahead, go.
I don't think there's anyone on the injury report last week.
There's anyone on your injury report. How did they translate that on the transcript? They said, I don't think there was anyone on the injury report last week. Is that what you said?
I don't think he was even on the injury report last week.
Okay, he was.
Exactly.
He was.
So that's the other thing.
On Thursday. He wasn't on Wednesday. He wasn't on Friday, but he was on Thursday. And I did find it strange, to your point, Michael, because the ankle back comes back. I mean, even if, to me, when a guy pops up on the injury report midweek, that generally is an indication that something happened at practice.
Right.
So if that's what happened, hurt both of his pre-existing injuries at practice the same day. Like, it was odd. I don't know. And then he took that hit, I think, on the last catch that he kind of hobbled off the field a little bit.
Oh, yeah, on the hip.
Yeah. Now, he only missed one play in the game. I think he was one play short of 100% in terms of snaps. But it looked like maybe he got hit on the hip or maybe a thigh or something like that. And then he's back on the injury report, ankle back. Like, yeah. I'm not exactly sure what to make of the situation.
There's anyone on the injury report last week.
But I do think, and I do agree with Greg, you know, they have a lack of depth at tight end because I don't think Jacob Hollister, first of all, talk about health. Like, he can't stay on the field, and he's not really a blocker. And Dwayne Allen is still working his way back from his injury. They don't have any depth there.
Matt, you okay over there?
Yeah,
I just think it's like, could you be less convincing slurring that under your breath? Like, he wanted nothing to do with that question.
That's true.
He knew he was lying, for crying out loud. Like, it was last week.
I don't think there's anyone on the injury report last week.
Oh, you weasel. Oh, please, what a weaselly move. That's a weaselly move. Paul, don't say anything. It was a weasel move.
Don't worry about it.
Like, he knew he was on the injury report last week. Like, what are you talking about? They're probably in the process of making a move right now, for crying out loud. Something's going on there. Oh. I'm sorry. That's me. What? What are you talking about with Gronk? What? What are you talking about? I don't see what you're talking about. No, there's nothing going on. No, nothing's changed. I don't think there's anyone on the injury report last week.
I don't think there's anyone on the injury report last week.
Okay, Bill. Yeah, whatever you say, Bill. We can move on. It's fine.
Paul, give me a minute on the Dolphins this week.
I think that the key is the start. And I think that's been the common denominator of all these road games that they've struggled in is they allow the other team to get out quickly. And they immediately fall behind, and that's not the way the Patriots... I mean, that's not the way anybody wants to play, but I think the Patriots in particular are just unbeatable as front runners. When they get out to a good start and you have to chase them, you almost never beat them. So I think that's the key. It's the first quarter. The Patriots come out of the first quarter with a lead, score first, make Miami chase, put it on Tannehill, like, you know, make it a throwing game where he's not able to mix it up and throw when he wants to. And I think the Patriots will come away with an easy win. If they fall behind and they get sloppy and they give up sacks, turn the ball over, it's going to be game on.
Okay. Is this a tell? Is this game, does this game tell you something, even though Miami blows?
Yeah. If the Patriots had a really solid effort on the road in a place that they never play well, you wouldn't feel a lot better about.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's a tell.
Right. So, right. To me, this is. Yes, it's an AFC East tomato can, but given where it is and their past problems, I'll give them more weight if they
play
well down
there. It's a big game for the Patriots. I mean, it's do
There's
or die.
There's a lot to gain there.
Yeah, it's do or die for Miami, but it's a big game for the Patriots. They have a lot to gain by winning this game and winning it convincingly.
And especially because, you know, Bill's on him this week about it. And yeah. He's, I mean, like he always would be, but now it's like, it's real. He's probably driving it into them, how you start down there and how you prepare down. And if they don't respond, that's going to be a bad sign. So, I mean, if they play well, it's a good sign. If they don't, it's a bad sign. I mean, I'll grant you that.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. I feel pretty good in terms of how they're approaching it. But like I said, I would have thought for sure coming out of the bye, going out in the Meadowlands, it would have been a much better all-around effort, and it wasn't.
Paul, thanks for coming in. Not too much blood in the water there, kid. Just a little. That was in all good fun.
No, Tony can get the chum going again when I leave.
Okay, Paul. Have a good day.
Unbelievable.
Thanks for coming.
All your phones, the final hour. You understand all the football stuff we just did with Paul. We opened with Bruins, and I think a really scary loss last night, and a team that's in a really scary place. And I'm beginning to be afraid that they blew a specific chance to get better. And the comparison I made, Paul Perillo, as you're out the door. Remember in the late '90s when Bill Parcells leaves and the Patriots are granted all those draft picks, and Bobby Greer's given a great chance to retool and rebuild and keep the thing going, and then 3 years later they have no talent. We all looked back at those drafts in 97, 98, 99 and said, oh my God, Chris Canty, Andy Katzenmoyer,
Brandon Mitchell,
what did they
Damon
do?
Damon Denson.
What did they do? What did they do? You blew it. You blew your chance to get better. And the Bruins might be facing an equivalent situation with the 2015 draft. Scares the crap out of me. So we hit on that. We can go back to that if you want. We did the baseball stuff. How much do you expend on Eovaldi? The baseball shifts look like they're going to be changed. According to Jason Stark, there is significant support to banning shifts, or at least banning some forms of the shifts, among both owners and players. That's on the board too. So your calls on all of it. Right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.